Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt on this beautiful 16th day of April. This is Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day to all of you out there across the fruited plains. I hope it was a blessed weekend for you. It is kind of sad right now in Ohio. As I speak, there is still a manhunt on for something they're dubbing the Easter Massacre. There's a male who has just killed 13, 15, another 15. It's really unclear, but he's going around carrying out murders live on Facebook. They've pulled those down, but he came back up again later saying, "I just killed some more." There's live video of him shooting people. What they're calling an Easter Massacre. This is just tragic. Tragic. And if there's not a... I don't know how strongly I can emphasize this. Go armed everywhere. Everywhere you go right now. Now, I haven't checked the updates in the last half hour. I've just got my notes right here in front of me, but I'll get back to that and find out, you know, what's happened. Here I am. Hey, I hope you had a blessed Resurrection Day, great weekend, and then this news just comes. And for some people, it's not blessed, it's not happy, it's tragic, senseless. The evil times that we're living in. Mrs. Schmidt and I, our family, went to church at my parents' church. And I got thinking, you know, of course, I'm thinking about this before we get there, but I'm thinking about this while we're sitting there, how wondering when it's a matter of time when are some jihadis going to try to carry out a coordinated mass attacks at, you know, all these different churches, large and small, on a Christian holiday, Christmas, or on a Resurrection Day, Sunday services. And, of course, now where we are, there are so many guns in that place. The best thing that I could do would be to get my family to cover and just hole up and not I know they've got armed security and who knows how many guns are in the congregation, plus Mrs. Schmidt and I are both armed all the time, so you just in a crowd like that get to an exit or get to cover and just lay low, get ready to shoot somebody in the face who directly confronts you. But otherwise, and then of course, you know, then you assess the situation and find out where you could intervene, if you should intervene. I've been watching a series of videos lately. I want to share with you guys sometime. Really good self-defense. What was it? Active Self-Defense, I think is the name, the title of the YouTube channel. And what this guy does is reviews real world footage, most of them from CCTV camera footage of robberies that went down, things that went well, things that went poorly for self-defenders and for the robbers. A lot of times these are carjackings and armed robberies. Most of the time it goes very poorly for the bad guys because a lot of these are situations where the citizens, armed citizens, or an off-duty police officer intervenes, disrupts the situation, and shoots and or kills the bad guys. Tons of lessons to be learned here about situational awareness and basic tactics for self-defense. And I want to share that series with you. Maybe I'll put it on the docket to talk about next week. But I think it's called active armed defense or citizen armed defense? I just thought of it right off the top of my head when I was thinking about this massacre that's taking place right now in Ohio, and this being Resurrection Day Sunday, and all of the Christian church services going on. And this is the day and age. At any time in our history, now they want to double down on their efforts to disarm the people when we need the ability to preserve life and defend ourselves now more than ever. And now they want this is not the time to disarm the law-abiding peaceful citizens at this time. And I'm sad to say it's going to get worse. I don't know if you remember a few years ago when something happened on Facebook. It was a live streaming, and I said, you watch how spiritually sick we are, how we are degrading in our culture, the things that you will see, unspeakable things that you will see being live streamed in our future. What's going to be piped over the internet for your children to see, for you to see, for the world to see. And we've actually seen that with sexual assaults and murders and now this going on right now. So this is the time in our culture, in this season, to be armed everywhere you go and have the means, be prepared, have situational awareness to be ready to preserve life without notice, which is usually how these things happen. That's what made me think of that video series of reviews of real-world situations. Situational awareness, so key. I'll find that specific channel, and then we'll put a couple of the videos, maybe we'll embed in the highlights and resources posting and give you a link to that channel. Something to sit down with your family members that are old enough to understand the importance of having good situational awareness and being ready to respond immediately, and how the earlier you can detect a threat, the better chance you will have of prevailing in a situation where you're faced with, you know, a deadly threat. All right, let's get down to the news and commentary brought to you by Glenn Tate, the author, and the 299 Days book series. Somebody emailed me this one around a group that I'm in, a group of patriots and patriot leaders. Somebody discovered the last book with the 43 colonels, chapter 13. Colonel John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Redoubt and Amron, and this whole chapter dedicated to. It was really kind of embarrassing. I was flattered. I was honored. But that's quite a thing to have a legacy that you haven't even lived up to yet. That's some pressure. I don't know. But anyway, I was honored. I thought it was great. I think that in Glenn Tate, the author's mind, you know, how the role that Amron and Radio Free Redoubt could play out, and of course it's a fictional story, but sees that as a potential resource to contribute to the patriots prevailing one day in the fight for liberty and restoring freedom and Americanism. It was very honoring and humbling at the same time. Definitely not something to get a big head over. That's something to that's a lot of pressure, actually. Makes you not want to fail. but anyway. Okay, in the news, man, we are at AMCON 4 right now. Our lowest level is AMCON 5. We raised it a notch because even though the possibility is increasing of armed conflict with North Korea, we don't see that as significantly raised in the realm of probability. Like, this is probably going to happen. No, it's possible. It's very possible, but not quite probable yet. So what we did was we raised the AMCON level to AMCON 4 to raise awareness, to encourage our AMRON operators across the network to check their gear, check their skills, check their software, and make sure everything's up to speed. Make sure your radios, when not in use, are disconnected from antennas, because as a preventative measure to minimize the potential effects from an EMP, any equipment that you're not using on a regular basis, have stowed away in Faraday, protected. That means if you have a spare laptop, tablet, radios, any type of equipment, your thumb drives, things backed up on thumb drives, put away in Faraday. And so that's what we're advising our operators right now to do. It is easy for us to get complacent because we see the headlines that the North Koreans fired a missile which failed pretty much immediately. It exploded right at launch or right after launch. And so we go back, we drop our guard. Oh, there's really no threat there. The USS Carl Vinson is steaming its way toward the Korean Peninsula right now. That's not changed. What has changed is that now we've got China and Russia sending ships toward that region to shadow the USS Carl Vinson carrier strike group. And they're deeply concerned about the United States' increased aggressiveness toward North Korea. This could very much embolden North Korea. So the news headlines right now, Drudge is on Drudge. Hawaii is prepping for an attack. This has not gone away. We may even raise the AMCON to level 3. But we're watching this very closely. We're using due diligence in making our decision. We do not want to cry wolf. We do want to take things seriously. And we want to create awareness and make sure that you're as prepared as possible and forewarned as much as possible of potential threats, especially as the probability of those threats increases. So right now we're just watching the situation very closely. We may raise that to AMCON 3. There's a story here. You guys, if you weren't following it, Berkeley, the battle for Berkeley, which took place yesterday, there was a freedom rally, mostly Trump supporters, conservative, right-wing, conservative, pro-freedom, pro-Second Amendment, pro-First Amendment, pro-freedom, pro-America rally in the belly of the beast in Berkeley. Hardcore, left-wing, communist, occupied territory. It got violent. We had an AMRON operator on the ground feeding me spot reps and situation reports throughout the day. I just want to read you a couple of them here. The rally crowd has steadily grown to several hundred. Rally members paid protesters are steadily being injured as rocks, M-80s, fireworks are hurled into the crowd of conservative, you know, pro-Trump rally members. Rally members are being hit with brass knuckles. Protesters continue to probe the perimeter of the rally. Police line are holding, but Berkeley PD is refusing to make arrests. There are reports of the police sitting back, some of them in their patrol cars, just watching as people are getting beat up. A little bit later, still they continued firing fireworks into the crowd of the rally, the pro-American rally participants, throwing rocks, bricks, M-80s, other fireworks, brass knuckles in contact fights. And then the rally crowd has steadily grown. Where is it? So this is what happens. These guys get attacked by communist revolutionaries, the pro-American rally group. They went on the offensive and a melee broke out. I mean, they decided to fight back because the police, although there were some arrests, The police, for the most part, just hung back. We are seeing skirmishes now on the streets in America between patriots and communist revolutionaries. This will not stay in Berkeley. They are getting emboldened. The communist revolutionaries are. They are using violence. They are using deadly projectiles. They're throwing bricks and rocks, things that could easily kill somebody if hit in the head. So there were several head injuries, people hit with different missiles. But here we are in the American redoubt. And as the communist revolutionaries are emboldened, or something that I want to bring to your attention, there's an article that was sent to me from the heart of the American redoubt. The Coeur d'Alene Press. The article's right here. Remember when I said, you people in the American redoubt, do not check out because the enemy is coming. And now we see Indivisible, these leftist rooted organizations, emboldening themselves. They've called for all of their chapters to come to Coeur d'Alene for a pro-Trump protest at the rally. There were estimated, I don't know, a couple of hundred hardcore leftists. These are inspired by Indivisible. Patriots, the left is organizing, and the patriots are not. This is a problem. And I'm very disappointed in the residents of Coeur d'Alene City, because on multiple occasions, which I've documented, they sat on their laurels while the leftists made advancements. The only time that they rose to the occasion and band together was when that pastor and his wife were facing charges for refusing to marry a homosexual couple, and that made the city of Coeur d'Alene back down. But then the conservatives went back to sleep. Why? Because so many conservatives in the American redoubt think it's so safe here, they can just check out. They can just work on their rat rod. They can ride their Harley on the weekends, go fishing and hunting, and live the good life because they don't live in California anymore. But I've talked to so many people from California that are just pulling their hair out saying, you people do not realize what's coming. What we just left is on its way here. But there's not enough of them. Well, that's why we call it a remnant. But now these guys are organized. Saturday's evidence was entirely to the contrary about Democrats not really, well, Democrats being an extinct species in North Idaho. At least 300 boisterous anti-Trump protesters from all over the region jammed the community room at the Coeur d'Alene Library to chant slogans, speak out against administration policies, and demand that the president release the contents of his tax returns. That's what they were really pushing for this time. Why won't the president release his tax returns? I want to remind you, the president, nowhere in the Constitution does it say the president must demonstrate that he has paid taxes or hasn't paid taxes or to release his tax returns. There's nothing in the Constitution that says he has to. But these guys are willing to get boisterous, disruptive, and divisive. And they're claiming right now it's because President Trump won't release his tax returns. There's nothing in the Constitution that says he has to. You know what the Constitution does say? You have to be an American citizen. When the question came up with the previous president, who will not be named, and where he was truly born, because people were claiming he was born in Kenya. Other people are saying he was born in Hawaii. After pressure from the right, the previous president, who will not be named, finally produced what represented a Hawaii birth certificate. But forensic analysis consistently showed that document was not authentic and it had been tampered with on multiple levels, multiple layers of whatever it was not an original document. It had been altered. So if there's really a question about a president that needs to be forthright about producing documents for transparency's sake, I would say it would be the previous president. But they were silent on this. They hate a president who's going to stand for the rule of law and defend our borders. And Trump is not perfect. I've never been excited about him. I've been excited about him over the last couple of months because finally we got a president doing what any president should have been doing all along. But I also know that the times that we're living in being what they are, and combined with the fact that as soon as we put our hope in a man, we're going to be let down. With that in mind, I'm still excited that we have a president that's willing to do what should have been done for decades. And the left hates him for it. And they're getting violent. Now we have violence. And it was beautiful watching the footage of patriots, conservatives, pro-Americans actually go on the offensive, or no, actually go on the defensive offensively when they are having fireworks, explosives, and other projectiles, deadly projectiles hurled at them. They went on the attack out of self-defense. And when they got their hands on him, it looked like a skirmish from Braveheart without the swords. I mean, fists were flying. And it was so good to see communists bleeding. I watched the footage, multiple different footage, to see communists going down on their butts, getting smashed in the face with fists and going down and watching communists bleeding. Treating them finally as they really are, and that's enemies of America. We took an oath to defend America and the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and these are domestic enemies of America, or American principles, or American heritage, and the law of the land, the U.S. Constitution. So, any day a communist bleeds is a good day. You know what's a better day? When a communist repents. When he repents and he drops to his knees and he gives his life to the Lord and he changes his ways and he embraces the truth. But until they do, I say make them bleed. This was a great thing. I was so giddy. I was so proud of these patriots on the streets in occupied territory facing the communist revolutionaries and taking the fight back to them. When the police stood there, refusing to intervene, refusing to make arrests, refusing to stop the communist revolutionaries who had resorted to violence, and the patriots responded. It was a beautiful thing. We've got some of those videos we're posting on Facebook for you guys to just get some popcorn and sit back and get ready to watch communists bleed. And some patriots bled too. But, hey, the Tree of Liberty has to be watered from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants, right? What else we got here? Oh, there's something else here that's tragic. Redoubt News. If you get a chance, go check out Redoubt News. This judge, Navarro, has basically stated that the jury cannot use the Constitution, cannot refer to the Constitution. In the trials that are going on right now surrounding the Bundy Ranch incident, where all these patriots, political prisoners, are on trial, the defense defending the patriots repeatedly said that it was for the jury to determine if and when the First and Second Amendment would apply in determining their relationship to the intent and actions of the defendants. They were saying they're threatening them because they're armed. Well, the argument is, hold on, they have a Second Amendment right to be armed. Just because they're armed isn't a threat. because you're armed and holding a sign saying, please stop taking these ranchers' land. Oh, because you have a gun, you're threatening. Well, the defense is arguing, hold on, they have a First Amendment right to speak out against wrongfulness by our government, and they have a Second Amendment right to be armed. If you feel threatened by that, federal government, maybe you should be rethinking about your actions. Are you doing something that would make someone who's armed speaking out against your illegal action? If you feel threatened by that, maybe some self-evaluation is in order. But the judge, Navarro, said, jury nullification must be prohibited. Jury nullification must be prohibited, this judge says. That's where the jury can nullify a law because it violates the higher law, the laws of nature and the nature's God, or the Constitution. But she says jury nullification must be prohibited, and no jury instruction should include any mention of the First and Second Amendment. She went on to say that bringing any mention of the First and Second Amendments to the jury would not be helpful and would confuse them. Should there be any violations of the First and Second Amendment or other constitutional questions, that it could be appealed, and it was for the appellate court to decide, not the jury. False. This is false. This judge needs to be removed from the bench immediately. This is incredible. I hope you got what I just said. This article, it's titled, Navarro, Jury Cannot Use the Constitution, is over there at Redoubt News. If you're not following Redoubt News on a regular basis, I highly recommend that you do. They are covering stuff that you will not see covered in other places, especially the slipstream media. But they did a great job of covering this. This is infuriating. Should never happen. Never happen in American courts. Should not be happening in America. All right, before we take a break and come back with our special guest, Mark Goodwin. Oh, yesterday on the show I said, join us tomorrow night, special guest, Mark Goodman. Mark Goodman? Well, he's a good man, but his name isn't Goodman, it's Goodwin. Mark Goodwin, the author. And before we, what I'll do is Fox 519 is taking the day off to spend with his family, so I'm going to re-air most of his last week's Eye on the Economy, so that'll be good for those of you who missed it. But before I do, I want to remind you of the Northwest Preparedness Expo coming up on May 6th. Multiple speakers, Sam Culper, myself, codenamed Kay from Combat Studies Group, Sean Mitzel will be there. Several great speakers will be there. Representative Dave Taylor, Representative Matt Shea, both very strong patriots. And Brian Domke from StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. If you want to learn more about this one-day event in Prosser, Washington, beautiful wine country. It is beautiful, too. I love going to Prosser. It's right in between Yakima and the Tri-Cities. Vineyards lining both sides of the highway and the roads and the country roads. It is really just beautiful wine country. And this farm that this event takes place on is just really an amazing place, a very special place, and great, great people. But the website is NW, as in Northwest, NWPreparednessExpo.com. And we'll put that in our highlights and resources posting for you as well. All right, don't go away. Mark Goodwin, when we come back right here at Radio Free Redoubt.
60 million. That's how much it cost to fire cruise missiles into Syria in response to the false flag operation. 60 million. And with the national debt tipping the scales at $19.8 trillion, we are about to see the perfect storm hit our economy and the U.S. job report falls flat in March. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here, and I continue to bring you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marcos Supremo, and it's amazing. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Okay, the perfect economic storm. What would it look like at this current moment in time? Well, for that, we need to look at several contributing factors: the aging population of America, our skyrocketing national debt, and finally, the bitter political divisions in our own government. Now, with the action taken in the past 72 hours all around the globe, it is evident that Trump is biting off more than he can chew, and now Washington insiders like Rand Paul are screaming that Trump did what he did without a vote by Congress. And he's right, there was no vote. But bigger factors are at play here with the global financial stage. Last week we did talk about how Russia and China are getting ready to focus on the gold-backed currency. With the president hosting the Chinese contingent this week, I wonder if that was talked about at all. Now, Chinese state media on Saturday cheered the meeting between the U.S. president and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping as one showed around the world that the confrontation between the two powers was not inevitable. The official China Daily newspaper said it was encouraging to see the two-day summit that ended on Friday as, quote, going as well as it could after earlier confusing signals from Washington about how it was approaching the U.S.-China relationship. But the two sides seemed to avoid any diplomatic gaffes at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, which would have tarnished the meeting in the eyes of the protocol-conscious Chinese government. But the Chinese are famous for their long-term strategy. We have talked about their death by a thousand cut strategy before in earlier episodes. Now, how does this perfect storm begin to take place? Well, let's take a look at the experts on one of these things, and let's talk about Charles Hugh Smith, the financial blogger of OfTwoMinds.com and political commentator and co-author of Leverage, How Cheap Money Will Destroy the World. Great blog. I do recommend reading it. Not necessarily always conservative, but it's worth a read. Now, as Fox 519, I always felt that the days of robust economic growth, low national debt, and cheap energy prices were gone. And we've talked about that before. Now, Smith confirms this, and he says that these, quote, overlapping crises will be even worse by 2020. And among them, diminishing returns on skyrocketing personal and government debts, and again, the bitter and violent political divisions, we are now seeing a huge increase as well in predatory lending in the form of reverse mortgages and credit card debts by financial institutions. Nobody's learning from the lessons of the past few years. Now, among other structural forces that will dominate this future U.S. presidencies, Smith cites that America's aging population and inequality wrought by, quote, technological disruption. He says in his analysis said by 2031, the youngest baby boomers will have reached the age of 67, and Americans aged 65 and older will number 75 million. That number is nearly double the figure of 39 million a decade ago. We all know by 2020, Social Security is bankrupt. Now, we couple these factors with a pedantic jobs report from March, where only 98,000 jobs were added. That's a dramatic slowdown. Now, an interesting factor in this jobs report was that there was a large drop in unemployment for workers without high school diplomas. How they track that, I'm not sure. But the Wall Street Journal defines it as, workers with more education have lower unemployment rates. But that was a notable drop in the number of unemployed with less than a high school education in March, suggesting that employers are lowering the bar in search of qualified workers to fill open spots. Not educated workers, but qualified workers. I've asked around here in the readout when I saw this, and that's not the case. Now, the rate was down more than a percentage point just one prior month, and far below the 15% level it hit in several points in 2009 and 2010. Now, I think we're seeing some huge pain here that nobody's covering. I know in the readout some things have increased, like manufacturing and the medical job industry. I've seen the postings myself. But from what I'm seeing in the financial sector, banks are looking to go more automated and reduce branches. Now, combine that with Payless Shoes and Sears starting to go out of business, as well as a string of other bankruptcies in the industry, we could see the making of a very serious unemployment market once again. Folks, I'm about to offend you here. Again, Trump has bit off more than he could chew. And yes, what happened in Syria was downright awful. Even I, Fox 519, have watched the images of the children who are dying and thought of my own little foxes, and it made me quite sad, and I had to stop and pray. But our problems are too massive here at home. We cannot police the world anymore. and I fear that as his moves of the past week have caused irreparable damage to the U.S. reputation on a broad scope, in all effort to prove that we, quote, never back down from a fight and we control everything. If we are spread out fighting in Syria, moving nukes to South Korea to begin the fight with North Korea, and have time to take on the Russians all at the same time, now we're also forgetting that we are running on borrowed time for our own government spending, and we still haven't increased or fixed the debt ceiling. We are going to have the mother of all storms headed our way. Batten down the hatches, everyone, because this ship just sailed into the face of the storm. Thanks again for listening, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
This is the voice of the resistance against everything that's setting itself against Americanism and our values and our heritage. This is segment two of the Voice of the American Redoubt, brought to you in this segment by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com. If you need help finding the right property for you, for your move, your strategic move to the northernmost part of the Idaho Panhandle, give Selkirk Mountain Real Estate a call today, and they will help you out. They're helping many patriots make the move all the time. I looked it up, and that link is right here. It is active self-protection for attitude, skills, and plan. Active self-protection. What they do is review short videos, which is what I like the most about it. They're all very short, just 2 to 3 minutes each, reviewing robberies, carjackings, and kidnappings that have been captured on CCTV cameras, oftentimes where armed citizens responded, off-duty police officers responded, and lessons learned. Sometimes lessons, things that the citizens did poorly that led to them dying in the process of some of these situations, and also becoming victorious. Don't look at it, though, so much as a tactics resource as much. There's other resources for that. But this is exceptional for building situational awareness of how quickly these things can happen and with little warning, and how your well, really, it's situational awareness and lessons learned. So go check that out when you get a chance. I highly recommend that YouTube channel. All right. As promised, we are here with our friend, fellow prepper, fellow patriot, fellow God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. You guys are all familiar with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon, a prolific author he's become, and I like his style of writing. I like the topics that he's talking about, and he's got a new book coming out with this newest series in the days of Elijah. I was staring at the days of Noah, and my brain wouldn't let me say Elijah. The new one, The Days of Elijah. Mark Goodwin, thanks for joining us at Radio Free Redoubt.
John Jacob, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, now as we're talking this weekend, things are really potentially very dangerous with North Korea. And this is timely that we're talking about this for two reasons. Your books are a dystopian style Christian perspective of writing. Almost all your stuff is. On the same weekend that things are escalating to the highest level they've been in probably decades with North Korea, on the day of our Lord, as we go into these what appear to be end times unfolding right before our eyes, on the day that the Lord raised from the dead. So Resurrection Day. Happy Resurrection Day, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for calling it Resurrection Day and not Easter, which is named after the Babylonian goddess Ashtar.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You know, I covered this, yesterday on the show about Easter. What they're trying to do is, I saw a couple of articles in the newspaper basically trying to minimize Easter altogether as the, you know, there's nothing in the Bible. This is from a non-Christian writing in there saying there's nothing in early Christian history to talk about, you know, them celebrating Easter. So basically you shouldn't either. It's just all it originated from in the Bible was when the Jews left Israel. I'm like, no, yeah, that's
and they're half right. You know, and there is no record of the early Christians celebrating Ashtar, the fertility goddess, with colored eggs and rabbits and all these things that are symbols of fertility.
Yes.
At that particular time of spring. However, I think they did recognize that Christ was our Passover lamb. He was crucified at Passover.
Yes.
And I think that this was something that you know, especially given the deep Jewish roots of the early Christian church, I think that's something that they most likely always celebrated. It was at Passover when Jesus broke the bread and gave the wine and told his disciples, you know, do this in remembrance of me.
Yes.
And then it was the Sunday, you know, the first day of the week is when Mary went to the tomb, and we know that from the book of John. It was Sunday after Passover was the day that he rose from the dead.
Yes.
This particular year, that happens to line up with the goddess Ashtar Sunday, which is Easter. But regardless, the American Christian church always celebrates it with the rabbits and the eggs and the Semiramis, which is another name for that pagan goddess. They always celebrate it on that day as opposed to the day, the Sunday after Passover. So it's just by coincidence this year it lines up, but most years it's weeks apart.
Yes.
Which is something that, you know, we haven't fully pulled away from that Babylonian influence
right.
Well, in our culture and in our church. And then, you know, how does this and I know we're supposed to be talking about World War III right now, and this is kind of like small potatoes, it seems like. But let me tell you something. It weaves together. And you said something last weekend. You said that there's spiritual forces of evil that are going on at high levels of the government. And you nailed that, because while we're sitting here talking about this ancient Babylonian goddess, we've got somebody that follows this ancient Babylonian religion that was mixed with Judaism and is now called Kabbalah. Jared Kushner and, of course, Ivanka Trump are both Kabbalists, and they've got the ear of the president. And Kabbalah is nothing more than the blend of Judaism and that ancient Babylonian religion.
Which the Jews
that right into World War III, because it was her that spoke, whispered in her father's ear, let's bomb Syria, you know. And it was Jared who said, you know, let's push Steve Bannon, one of the few people in your administration that understands the Constitution, understands freedom, understands our need to get America right and make America great again before we start trying to make the world great again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you're nailing it. And on this Resurrection Day, we're grateful. We know that they're trying to basically minimize any recognition. Well, they're re-identifying it for us. The secular world is saying, hey, Christians, this was never an early Christian holiday, so you should just ignore it and move on with your lives, instead of putting it in its proper context, and that is that it stemmed from Passover. And even in America today, our Easter weekend lines up with the Jewish calendar surrounding the resurrection and Passover.
Yeah, and when we don't celebrate those two things together, when we miss Passover, we miss the whole symbol realism that, that God gave us.
Yes.
Of saying, you know, this is what's going to happen. The angel of death is going to pass over you, and you're going to put your faith in this blood, in this sacrifice. You're going to smear it on the doorposts of your home. And when that angel of death comes up by, it's going to pass over you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was for physical death.
Right.
But there's going to be a day.
It was symbolic.
When the angel of eternal death passes over you, and whether or not you have the blood of this Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, whether or not that's on the doorpost of your heart is going to determine where you spend eternity.
Yes.
And when we miss that, we miss such a picture of salvation and redemption and that protection and that sacrifice that Jesus made. And I think that that's if Satan can pull us away from that and pull away from that message, then, you know, he'll take it.
Absolutely. And there's gullible people out there that'll swallow it, that are supposed to be Christians and be set apart, sanctified, but they're not. So it's an ongoing education process, isn't it? And that's what you're doing with your books. You're using fiction to educate people, to bring awareness, to merge current modern-day events with biblical prophecy. And even though you state very clearly this is just fiction, don't get hung up on the eschatology and timelines and things like that. This is just, you know, one way it could go and what it might look like for some people that are going through it. And, it's good for us to kind of set our minds on that. Modern day events with a Christian perspective. And this book just kind of helps kind of focus the lens on today's headlines through a Christian viewpoint. And especially for where we're headed, and it paints a really good picture about the challenges that we could be facing in this generation and in very, very soon. So, first of all, let's talk about your latest book, because I have not read it yet. I just got done reading Apocalypse. Actually, I got the audio file of it. And about a month and a half ago, I finished up Apocalypse, the first in the series of The Days of Elijah. Loved it. And, of course, I read the first two books of The Days of Noah. I've still yet to go back and get the third one. But you've got a new one coming up in this newest series, The Days of Elijah, Wormwood. Talk about that. Where's this taking the characters now with Wormwood?
So in this book, you've got Everett Carroll and Courtney Carroll, his new wife. They both, prior to the collapse of America and the collapse of the world monetary system and the rise of a one world government, they both worked in the intelligence community. Everett was an analyst for the CIA, and Courtney was an outsourced worker for NSA. They've seen a lot of these little pieces of the puzzle coming together. And so at this point, everything's come together. You've got a one world leader that's come up, and he's reading the book of Revelations like a playbook. So they can see the one world government doing things to prepare for the next coming cataclysm. And of course, they're starting in the trumpet judgments in this book. And so one of those judgments is the comet Wormwood that hits the earth and poisons the world's fresh water supplies.
Yeah.
And so they're having to deal with that and all the other judgments that are falling around that at the same time of, you know, not taking the mark of the beast and having to trade with other people for information and for goods and services outside of the system, because they've been put out of the economic system altogether because they won't take the mark.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That where this black market system begins to develop, and you've got a couple of different groups that are working in this underground black market, trying to avoid the mark of the beast. You've got Christians who see what's going on. And they refuse it for religious reasons. They understand what the mark of the beast is. And the second group, they're just your rebels. They're just, I'm not going to be pushed around by no government. I'm not taking that thing. They're just basically just kind of a more of a rebellious spirit. But they don't necessarily want to have anything to do with the Christian thing. But, you know, they're still resisting it. So you actually have it's not just Christians. You get a large underground base, really, in this black market system. And but these guys are, you know, working together. It's a very realistic, I guess, relationship that you could see unfolding.
Yeah, the enemy of my enemy's enemy is my friend, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And so this is – I really like the characters, the way you've built them up, you know, especially with Elliot, you know, a former CIA analyst and the gal that he ends up meeting. What I liked in Apocalypse was that you brought one of the two witnesses to life it was Elijah. And right. Where they get to know him, you know, in Virginia as a person, and just really just made him real to me. And of course,
wouldn't that be cool?
It would. I like the thought of that. What type of a person would they be, you know, if this unfolded this way? I don't know if they're just going to come down. You know, they're not going to be, you know, living on Earth prior to this. They're just gonna come down for their moment and then be gone again. But this was I like the approach about where you get to actually know these people and see where they're at, you know, what their mission is, from a human side of things, you know, interacting with them. That was cool. I just love the whole story. So I'm looking forward to Wormwood. And what's the next book coming after this one?
It'll be Angel of the Apocalypse.
Okay. And things are going
to – Angel of the Abyss.
Ah. All right. Now, where I left off, what I remember is the other main character, another couple that they linked up with, these guys are Christians now too. But the one guy, what's his name? I can't remember. He died. He was shot and killed. And Elijah actually brings him back to life. And that's when they start to realize who this guy is, you know, one of the two witnesses. I thought we'd lost him forever. But let's talk about this in modern terms. We're actually – let's take a break real quick. And then when we come back, I want to talk about current events, how you see things unfolding. Some of the threats, I think we're probably both on the same page on this. But I think this would be a good discussion for the listeners to hear and really for a practical sense what they can do about it or what they should be doing about it. And what they shouldn't be worried about, and then what action steps they should be taking right now. So we'll talk about that. We're with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon, the author of the latest series, The Days of Elijah, with his new book, Wormwood. You'll be able to find that on our Highlights and Resources posting. We'll be putting links up at RadioFreeRedoubt.com for you to click through and get your copy today. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away.
I didn't mean to treat you bad, yeah, but I did.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, The Way I See It. State sovereignty is back in the news, and many people agree that we need to recover the lost art of freedom. But how do we do that? Many ideas have been thrown out there, but one of the best that I heard over the summer is what I and 15 other state legislators from other states throughout the West call the 5 steps to freedom. I'd like to share those with you today. First, state legislators must nullify unconstitutional legislation. For instance, nationalized health care or cap and trade are not specific enumerated powers of the federal government and Congress. Therefore, state legislators can nullify such laws. The idea comes from Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, who first introduced it because they believed it was a natural right of the states in the checks and balances process. Step 2. We need to erect an impenetrable wall around the Second Amendment. That takes several forms. First, an extension of the castle doctrine. Wherever I stand, that's my castle. Number 2, oath-keeping. Sheriffs need to uphold their oaths to the Constitution of the United States and the several states. And number 3, a sheriff-first piece of legislation which allows sheriffs the process by which they can arrest and detain federal agents acting beyond their scope of authority. Number 3, we need to restore sound money. And what does that mean? We need to return to a gold and silver standard. Number 4, we need to secure our borders by making the state verify citizenship before issuing a driver's license, a business license, or any other formal source of state recognition. And number 5, wherever any of this legislation fails, the people need to introduce that by way of initiative. State sovereignty is the path back to freedom. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening.
All right, we're back with segment 3. This is going to be only 3 segments this week because I'm going to get back to my family. It's Resurrection Day, doggone it. And I didn't even think of that last week when I was, so I'll talk to you next week. We're going to talk about this, that, and the next thing. But no, my family's waiting for me. And so I'm going to get back to them. But segment 3 is brought to you by strategiclandscapedesign.com. You'll be able to hear Brian speak at the Northwest Preparedness Expo in Prosser, Washington on May 6th. And you can go and check out their website right now. It's strategiclandscapedesign.com. If you don't know it, they have a pre-purchase property evaluation service. And if you get a hold of them, they'll walk you through that before you make the move. You were looking for the right property for you. They will go over that and help you evaluate properties that you're considering purchasing. It's great service by those folks. Good folks. Patriot, Christian Patriot-owned business. So check them out. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. All right, again, we're back. If you're just joining us late, we are with Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon talking about his latest book, Wormwood, in the series, The Days of Elijah, dealing with some Christians that were left behind after what we commonly refer to as the rapture. And they become Christians. They're dealing with the Mark of the Beast, the one world government. And this all stemmed from the Days of Noah series, which is basically the collapse of the American system, dealing with persecution against just patriots and conservatives, and it's kind of basically how a major change and reset happened in the United States. So, Mark Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to clarify, they weren't Christians when they were left behind. But they'd been, you know, they'd had people telling them about this and telling them this was going to happen and nodding their head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure thing. Whatever. And then the second the disappearances are announced on the radio and you know, blamed on the aliens, they know exactly what just happened.
Yes.
And, you know, and basically hit their knees immediately. And I think a lot of people are going to do that. And I think a lot of people are going to be – I think there's going to be a lot of people that think that – that they've got a ticket out of here, and you know, and they've been fed a line of apostate theology that's so prevalent in America that tells them that there's some type of salvation that you can get without repentance, and that is just – that's not in the Bible.
No, it's not. So, yeah, this is good. And that's a good point. These guys had all heard the story. I mean, the Elliot's kind of mentor for years and his boss at the CIA tried talking about this, you know, inviting him up to his cabin, talking about the preparations that he's made. And of course, he passes away, but he got a chance to witness to Elliot. So once he passed away and then this the rapture happens, yeah, they knew exactly what happened. And that starts them on their journey. So they definitely have some challenges ahead of them. The wormwood affecting the water, how did they overcome it in this book? I mean, from your perspective as a, you know, a fictional perspective, how did they deal with
God,
that?
It's God's providence in there, and he provides a spring for them.
Oh.
But, you know, there's a lot of things that I think that it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough time to get through. And, you know, and one of the things that I sort of dealt with in the days of Noah was just this complete and total annihilation of the United States, because we don't really see United States as being a major player.
Right.
When we're looking at biblical prophecy, and there's something that's been in my spirit that I've been apprehensive about since the primaries, since the Republican primaries, that you know, could Donald Trump be a type of judgment against America to say, you know, this is who you've elected to be your conservative leader. Now, with everybody else, I'm happy that he got it and not Hillary.
Right.
You know, I'd rather take a bullet in the foot than a bullet in the head any day. And anybody that says that, oh, it's terrible to choose between the lesser of two evils, I'm not going to compromise, I'm not going to do that. Let's see you say that when some psycho has a gun to your daughter and is asking you, do you want me to shoot her in the foot or do you want me to shoot her in the head?
Right.
You'll take the lesser of two evils. If something like that, God forbid, ever happens to you, you'll take the lesser of two evils on that day. And that's exactly what we did in November, is we took the lesser of two evils, and it's going to mean – and that's what it means to our children. Do we want them to have the bullet in their head or a bullet in their foot? And every parent out there will pick the foot.
Sure.
You know, as bad and horrible as that is to sit and watch your kid get shot in the foot, you'll take that every day over watching them get shot in the head.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm still convinced that's what we got with Trump. And, you know, he's not a conservative. He's never in his career, or in the things that he said, they're not political. They're not conservative. The ways he's voted, the people he's supported, his stance on abortion, all of that stuff's been very wishy-washy. And
right.
You know, and now he came into office with, like we said in the first half of the show, you know, Jared Kushner and Ivanka, Kabbalist, leftist, liberals on one side of the spectrum, and Steve Bannon on the other side, and now Steve Bannon's getting pushed away, and he's embracing that leftist mentality, and unfortunately we're watching him get dragged into this warmongerism of I think the globalist mindset, and I'm hoping that he's going to prove me wrong, but I'm very, very apprehensive about what's happening right now. And I think that this could be a type of judgment from God for us saying, yeah, this is who us as the conservatives of America are going to pick this man that has owned strip clubs and casinos and has been involved in
a lot of – built his wealth on it.
That's not conservative at all.
Right. And he funded Hillary Clinton's campaign in what, 2011. Basically, what we've got are the political and even militarily things are escalating in the world right now. The situation with North Korea, more particularly, you know, I've gotten updates right now. The Pentagon is, matter of fact, the Pentagon right now, they're. Parking is overflowing. They're running shuttle buses now with extended parking lots for the manpower that they've called in to the Pentagon. Things are definitely escalating over there. They're scheduled to do a nuclear test. They've called for the evacuation of Pyongyang, the capital city of North Korea. A lot of indicators here pointing toward things heating up. Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, North Korea poses no threat to the United States. They're a joke. But I've got a couple of theories on that, and I'm sure you do as well. So what's your take on the level of threat that North Korea actually poses on the United States?
Well, the CIA's own former nuclear strategist, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, he doesn't think that they're not a threat. He believes that they've got two satellites orbiting over America right now that could be detonated at will to create an EMP blast that would cripple our infrastructure, our banking system, our transport system, everything, yeah, in the blink of an eye. And basically destroy America, and that we're not prepped and we're not hardened against this at all. And I guess we're getting ready to find out, because like you said, things are escalating. And if he's got something like that, Kim Jong's going to pull the button, push the button. And, you know, and it's hard to say, is he really the bully that he acts like in North Korea there, where he's got so much power and he's unopposed? It's easy for him to go around and bully everybody. But, you know, sometimes the bully in the schoolyard, when he's confronted with somebody that's willing to stand up to him, will back down. So we don't really know where he's at as far as, you know, is he willing to die over this, or is he going to back down? We don't really know.
Or does he think has he convinced himself that he is invincible, because that's the world that he lives in? He's treated like a god. The word that I have here, a couple of sources are stating that just in the last 12 to 24 hours, the talks between North Korea and China basically fell apart last night to them, which was almost 24 hours ago for us. So apparently those talks just disintegrated, hoping that China would be able to do something with North Korea to convince them to back off. And it doesn't seem like they're listening. They're basically saying, you know, fooey on youy, we're going to do what we want. And the satellites that you're talking about, we've been following those for a couple of years. And incidentally, we're also at AMCON 4 for the American Readout Radio Operators Network. We raised it to 4. We're looking at raising that once again to level 3, assessing a lot of the information as it comes in. But this Kwang Myong Song 4 satellite, the series of satellites, I know that at least the talking heads on a lot of the mainstream news has been pointing and snickering and laughing at North Korea because the satellites aren't even transmitting, they don't work, they're tumbling. But we've got reports saying that at least one of those is stabilized, and they don't have to be transmitting to receive a message, to receive a command. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, if you just need it to detonate, it doesn't have to transmit anything. That's exactly what it would do.
Right. Like
if that's what it was, is not transmit anything. So, you know, are they that inept that they would launch a satellite that doesn't do anything and put all those resources? You know, I know he's crazy, you know, but would he put up a satellite, two satellites that don't do anything? You know, you can figure out how to get it up there and get it into orbit, but you can't figure out how to make it work. I don't know. And then another thing we got to think about is it's been several years now since Stuxnet. And of course, the second it was discovered, you know, now the Iranians have it. Of course, they pass it on to the Russians. North Korea has gotten a copy of that. This is low end stuff. When you start thinking about reverse engineering a computer worm like Stuxnet, and now you basically have a template to develop something like that yourself. And of course, Ted Koppel thinks that the Russians and the Iranians are inside all the U.S. SCADA systems with a Stuxnet-like virus that could be triggered at will.
Just for the listeners' benefit, the Stuxnet is the supposed worm or the virus that that infected and took down the Iranian centrifuge program by placing this into the firmware of a thumb drive, which would normally be scanned for viruses and malware, but it doesn't scan the firmware, and that's how it was missed. And whether it's Israeli or United States intelligence services or a joint effort, the Stuxnet refers to that firmware malware inside a thumb drive. And so now that's basically it's all over the world now.
Yeah, and what entities try to do to guard against that is have what they call an air gap, whereas you're not online with critical systems like that. But everybody else that services your equipment is online. So that's how the intelligence agencies that got that in there. Of course, Stuxnet's the term that was used by the security firm that found the virus.
Right.
The actual program to get it in there was called Olympic Games. And what they did is they infected all of the service companies that had anything to do with those Iranian centrifuges to make sure that every piece of equipment they took in there had the virus and that it would get passed around. So when they go in there to check the cooling system or to, you know, check out the lights or the pass card system to get you in the building or whatever, all of those companies that service all of that equipment are all infected. So how to do it, the template for the virus itself, that's all out there and it's easily replicatable. So, you know, just as when we bombed Hiroshima, we started a whole new type of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing happened with Stuxnet. So we're living in a different world, and World War III is not going to look like World War II. And, you know, the damage that can be done with bombs and bullets are minuscule compared to what can be done with a computer virus. And it's so cheap to do. If you've got somebody that's got the intelligence and you've got a sufficient computer network to develop it, then this is something that doesn't take a whole lot of resources, doesn't take a whole lot of money, and it's something that North Korea, Russia, Iran, anybody can do.
Yeah, any nation state has the capability to produce something like this now. Let's talk about – well, there are several things that I wanted to hit on, but the EMP threat, the potential – here's one theory that I have, and this is that one scenario I could see potentially playing out is that China – acting as the intermediary who can't do anything with their red-headed stepchild anymore, China itself affects a cyber attack or even an EMP, giving the appearance that it was North Korea that did it. So in the ensuing aftermath and chaos, China comes to the United States' aid to help with security and stabilization efforts and aid and relief efforts. Of course, once setting foot on our soil, also to secure their national interests, which they have heavily invested in the United States in natural resources, they could justify to the world securing their national interests while helping America stabilize, never to leave American soil again. How viable do you think that scenario is?
The term false flag comes from, you know, 17th and 18th century warships that would go out, fly the flag of another country and attack somebody else's trade vessels or naval vessels or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is old news that countries will fly another flag. That's where we get the term false flag from. So this
right.
is a very old term. It's an old war, military doctrine, and it's something that people have been doing probably since the beginning of war itself.
And right up to last week when we had attacks from apparently Russia giving the appearance that it was coming from another place. and vice
versa. If you weren't there and you didn't pull the trigger, you don't have any idea who did what.
Right.
So that's so plausible. And we're making enemies at a record pace right now. You know, on one side, yes, it's good to have somebody in the Oval Office that the rest of the world fears, but at the same time, it also produces instability. So it's a double-edged sword having somebody like Trump there.
Well, I want to ask you this: given that things are so on edge right now, the potential for an EMP, regardless of who sets it off, and once someone sets it off, it doesn't matter who it was after that, at least especially on the local community, family, even state level, you're there. It doesn't matter who did what. It matters that you have no running water, you have no electricity, you have no conventional communications. All of this. Right now, we've got with AMCON 4, we put out guidance for all of the operators to keep their antennas disconnected from their primary radios when they're not in use. Any backup and spare radios or laptops, anything having to do with their communications gear, should be put in Faraday right now for the unforeseeable future, indefinitely, until things stabilize a bit. What recommendations do you have for the average citizen out there to what should they be doing right now in light of what's happening in the world? Besides, they should have been doing it for the last 5 years already and it's too late, but give them some hope.
And the things that I'm going to go through are going to be applicable for EMP or for a cyber attack, because I think that both of them are highly, highly likely. And I think that a cyber attack may even be more likely, just because it would be a little bit less detrimental, and maybe we have it escalated to the position, maybe China doesn't want to take us down that bad, because maybe they need us to sell, because if there's no Walmart, what are they going to do? Where are they going to sell their stuff?
Right.
So they need Walmart, and Walmart's not really any good without a bunch of Americans to buy the stuff there. So, all that stuff we don't know. How bad do they hate us? How well do they think they could get along without us? And all of those types of things. But I think cyber attacks very, very likely, and. And so this is going to cover both of those things. Don't let your tank get below 3/4 of a tank in your car. Keep that topped off all the time. Just every time you go out, you get below a quarter tank. Once you use it, fill it back up. Keep your pantry stocked. This is something everybody should be doing at all times anyway, especially for new preppers. You're just now starting out. Stock it up. Get 6 months worth of food, dry food that's gonna store without a refrigerator, without electricity. And at least you've got, it may last much longer than that, but at least that gives you a little time to think.
Sure. Time to assess the situation and start. Look, it's springtime. Get that garden in right now.
Right.
If you got 6 months worth of supplies.
Keep some money outside of the bank, because, it could be a cyber attack that's not against only the financial institution. If you had a Stuxnet type virus go into the banking system and take out the banking servers, by the time it triggers, it's already in all the backup servers. So everybody's accounts are erased. And there's, because they've got everything backed up on another server in case this server goes down. But if the virus is getting backed up with the backup server, it's going to take down everything. So you got to have that. You got to have some cash outside of the banking system. And, the cash is only going to be so good for so long. But that first 48 to 72 hours, when everybody's trying to figure out what's going on and you know what happened.
Right.
You can get out there and get ahead of the curve and get your last minute things, and then get inside or get to your bug out location. Hopefully by now you've got a team. You've got some folks that you've already discussed this with, that you know where you're going, and you know who's going to be on guard first, second, and third shift, and all that stuff's already worked out in the best case scenario. And so, you need to have all those folks need to all be on, you know, in condition orange right now and thinking about all this stuff. And if you're driving somewhere and you're going, you know, a half hour, you're going a half hour drive from your home and you're going to church or the mall or whatever, make sure you've got some good, comfortable walking shoes to get back home if there's an EMP and mm-hmm. your car doesn't get back home and you need to.
Absolutely. That's good stuff.
And you should have at least three ways of purifying water because, yeah. we say that two is one and one is none. But for something that is critical as water, you need multiple redundancies. So you should have several ways to purify water.
Well,
and at the same time, if none of this other stuff happens and it's just a conventional war and we're just dropping mother of all bombs all across the desert and, turning into a glass parking lot, that's expensive. And in case you haven't noticed, we don't have a big surplus of funds right now. At $20 trillion in debt, the only way we're going to be able to finance that is through monetary creation. Monetary creation that always leads to inflation. So you have to protect your savings by limiting your exposure to U.S. dollars. So diversifying to gold, silver, ammo, even real estate.
Tangible assets.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, this is good stuff.
Also, John Jacob, if I can mention, if you go to PrepperRecon.com, at the very top of the page, there's a little banner there that says free 7-step survival plan PDF. I just want people to have that. I want them to go there, click that, fill out your email information. I'll email that PDF straight to your inbox. That's great for new preppers, especially because this is so overwhelming when they start thinking about how am I going to get prepared, and there's so many things to do, and they can't get it all organized in their head. So you've got a little checklist that you can go through that's going to prioritize food, water, shelter, security, gold and silver bullion. And it's going to take you through prioritized list of stuff because it doesn't do you any good to get gold and silver and you don't have anything to eat and you have no way to defend yourself. So it makes sure that you're taking the right steps at the right time and that you've got base one and two covered before you try to round third base and home.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great, and we will definitely link that 7-step prepper checklist to PrepperRecon.com from our highlights and resources posting. We'll make sure that we reiterate that for folks that are just starting out and saying, wow, our world's changing. It could be different very soon in the coming days or weeks. What do I do? And this is a great resource. You've got some other great resources, too, at your website. If you want to talk about those real quick, I know the IFAC – you're still producing the IFACs, correct? The individual first aid kits.
Yeah, I do. We've got a fully stocked individual first aid kit. It comes in a Molly compatible pouch. You can get it in OD green, Coyote black, or ACU, and that'll strap onto your Molly vest or Molly backpack. It also fits nicely under the front seat of your car or in your glove compartment. That's got a Israeli battle dressing in it. It's got a suture kit in it. It's got a quick clot. Steri strips, which is what they often use instead of sutures, right. if you're having to do work in the field or something like that. You've got nitrile gloves in there, a lot of good advanced trauma equipment in there.
Excellent.
So, and I'm going to be giving one of those away really soon. I'll be having another giveaway. So if you sign up for the free 7-step survival plan, that's going to put you on my mailing list and you'll get an email notification when I have a giveaway. The next giveaway, I'm going to be giving away a lot of this critical stuff that we've been talking about that people are going to need to survive when things go south. I'm going to be giving away one of those IFACs. You'll get to pick your color. I'm also going to be giving away a Surefire G2X tactical flashlight, which is great. That's great for mounting on your weapon or just having with you. It's a dependable flashlight, a Gerber multi-tool. I'm going to be giving away a Sawyer Mini filter, which Good. Is really, really great. I like that so much better than Life Straw because it's so much easier and so versatile to use. And I'm going to be giving away I'm going to be giving away $1 billion. Of course, that's $1 billion in Zimbabwe currency. And to be super honest with you, a billion Zimbabwe won't buy you what it used to. in fact, you might be lucky if you can even get a stick of gum for $1 billion in Zimbabwe cash. But it's a teaching tool to show people the what happens to fiat currency. It's absolutely priceless.
Yeah.
And then I'm also going to be giving away the solution to fiat currency. I'm going to be giving away 10 silver eagles, one ounce silver eagle. So that's 10 ounces of silver there. And I'm going to be giving away 10 pre-1965 U.S. quarters. So if you win the first prize, you'll be getting all of that stuff, which is 12 ounces of silver, $1 billion Zimbabwe, the IFAC, the Sawyer Mini, the G2X Surefire, and the Gerber Multi-Tool. So some prepper or patriot out there could really walk away with all the cookies on this one.
No kidding. That is great. You could become an instant billionaire. I love it.
Yeah.
No, there's some really great, valuable equipment and resources here, all of that, and that's coming up. Just when is that going to take place?
It'll start in May or right around the 1st of May, and it'll run all the way through the month of May. What you'll do is you'll just go and leave a – I'm re-releasing the Economic Collapse Chronicles as a Kindle box set.
Oh.
And so you just go, you leave a review for the Kindle box set of the Economic Collapse Chronicles. You email me. It's prepperrecon@gmail.com. You leave me the your Amazon screen name, and just for the subject line, you put ECC box giveaway. You put that in there, and you'll be registered to win.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot of information. That's I'm trying to type here as fast as I can. We want to definitely help get the word out. This is really great. Okay.
Yeah, I'll send you a link to all that.
Yeah, I do. And we'll put it in the highlights and resources posting. Well, Mark.
Yeah, and like you. I said, everybody that signs up for the 7-Step Survival Plan is going to get an email notification when the contest starts.
All right. Well, I'm going to sign up today. I didn't know about all this. This is great. And so I encourage the listeners to do so as well. Mark, thank you so much for all that you do and helping to bring awareness, bringing the potential future scenarios alive through these fictional characters and these books that are very plausible and very realistic scenarios that you've placed them in, and how they process it, what's going through their minds, how they're just dealing with the information, processing it, and putting on that mental survival mindset that's necessary for getting through this stuff. And you've done a great job with it, and you're doing a great job over there at Prepper Recon, and it's always a pleasure. So thank you for being with us.
Well, John Jacob, thanks for all you do. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for standing on the line for freedom and for Americanism, and thanks to all the listeners out there that support Radio Free Readout and the Oath Keepers and the prayer warriors out there. I get emails sometimes from people that said they're praying for me, and you don't know.
Yes.
What yes. That's worth, because we're, like you said last week, we are in a spiritual battle. You just don't know what's going on at the White House right now, with Trump being pulled between the forces of good and evil, not the left and the right, the forces of good and evil.
Yes.
And you don't know the spiritual attacks that I'm sure you go through, John Jacob, that the enemy is just and it's things that you know it's coming from the spiritual realm, and it's not things that are necessary. It's physical stuff a lot of times, but a lot of times it's just a bad night's sleep or a little ankle biter stuff.
Yes.
that we have to persevere through, that it comes at such critical times that it's the enemy because of the time that it came.
Yeah.
And it's something that you were trying to do for the kingdom, or something you were trying to do for freedom or for America, and those little attacks hit. And I know things like that happen to you. They happen to me. And so the folks out there, that if the only thing you can do is pray for John Jacob or pray for me or pray for President Trump, if that's the only thing you can do, it's so much. And you don't know how much we appreciate that, even though we may not ever know that you did it. We need it. and we cherish those prayers.
Amen. I concur with everything you just said. Thank you for saying it. It's man, yeah, I agree. All right, folks, Mark Goodwin from Prepper Recon. Mark's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you once again. You have a blessed Resurrection Day and a blessed week ahead, and we'll definitely be in touch. Okay, everyone, that's a wrap. This has been episode 1715, the 15th episode of 2017 here at Radio Free Redoubt. You have a blessed week. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. God bless. This is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.